Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Jesus knew that he was spending the last little bit with his disciples. He knew that his time to be crucified and to die was very near. And if you knew that you were just living the last little bit of life, how would you spend it? Wouldn't you spend it with those that you loved, and you would use the time to share it, say those last important words to people in your life? So the things that took place from this point, we want to recognize that these were very important things that happened, because Christ knew that his hour was nearing the end. And what he taught his disciples is still very important for us today. It said, supper being ended. Now, the Passover time was nigh, and I just want us to set the stage for what we are entering into this afternoon, this morning. The Passover was a time that was used to commemorate or remember the death angel passing over the children of Israel when they were in Egypt. And remember that everywhere that the blood of the Lamb had been applied, the death angel passed over it. And God did not want the children of Israel to forget what he had done for them. And so he instituted the Feast of the Passover. And so one time a year, the children of Israel had a special feast and certain observances that they had followed to remember when God brought them out of Egypt and how God delivered them from death. So Jesus was going to observe this Passover because it was according to the law. So supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rose from supper, and he laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and he girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel whereof he was girded. Can you imagine the Savior just... He took off his coat, in essence. He took off his coat and he took a towel and he wrapped it around him and he knelt down and he washed his disciples' feet one by one. This is the Son of God. This is the one that had performed miracles, that had given sight to the blind. This is the one that had raised the dead to life. And now we see a picture of this wonderful man, the Son of God, kneeling down and washing people's feet. That was not something that masters did. That was not something that kings did. The job of washing feet was the job of the servant. And so Jesus came to Simon Peter, and Peter said, "Lord, do you are going to wash my feet?" And Jesus said, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." In other words, Peter, you really don't understand what this is about right now, but you're going to. And Peter said, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Can you imagine telling the Lord that? "Lord, you're not going to wash my feet." I had someone tell me that one time. I was in Pakistan. Knelt down a brother, it was a young brother, he was a young minister. He came and he knelt down before me and he washed my feet. And there, they didn't just use a little bit of water, they thoroughly scrubbed with soap and water. And he washed my feet probably better than they had been washed for a long time. And he was doing it as a following the Christ example. And after he got finished, and I was very touched by this young man washing my feet. And when he finished, I said, "Now it's my turn." And he looked at me and he said, "You are not going to wash my feet." And I said, do you remember what Peter told Jesus? Because he told me, he said, you are my mentor. He said, you are my teacher. He said, you're not to wash mine. And I said, actually, I am to wash your feet. It was one of the most moving experiences I'd had in washing someone's feet, because it was like Peter saying, Lord, you're not going to, I don't want you to get down and wash my feet. That's the job of a servant. Do you know that is the very reason that the Lord told us to wash one another's feet? He wanted to remind us that none of us are greater than anyone else. So Peter said, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. If you don't let me wash your feet, you don't have a part. And then Peter said, and bless Peter's heart, he said, Lord, then not my feet only, but wash my hands and my head. And I just want you, Lord, if you're going to wash, I want to be part with you. Do you know there are very, very few churches today that observe this ordinance? Very few. And Jesus told us this was important. Jesus said, he that is washed need not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Jesus was speaking of spiritually, and was referring to Judas, who was the spirit of the enemy had entered into his heart. He said, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, ye are not all clean. So after he washed their feet and had taken his garments and sat down, he asked them a question. He said, know you what I've done to you? Do you know what I've done? And he said, you call me master and Lord. And he said, you say well, for so I am. But if I, then, your master and Lord, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. And then here is the command. He said, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that sent greater than he that sent him. And if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. If you want to be happy this morning, it's in following the example of Christ in feet washing. It wasn't about getting the literal dirt off of the feet of his disciples. It's not that we come and say, well, we're going to have a good foot scrubbing in this service. That's not what this is about. It is about remembering what Jesus told us to remember. He said, I'm your Lord and I'm your master. And he said, I've washed your feet. In other words, I've humbled myself to you. And you ought to do that same thing with one another. And I just, how the Lord impressed me today to share this was, the Lord wants us to remember our place. He wants us to remember who we are in our position, that we're not, and we won't take the time to read, but in the 22nd chapter of Luke, do you remember that the disciples were quarreling over who would be greatest? It's like, who's going to be greatest? And that's what our world is about. Who gets the best position? Who's going to come out on top? Who's going to have the most recognition? And who's going to have the most money? And who has the most authority? And Jesus told them, he said, this is the way it is with kings and princes. But he said, it shall not be so among you. He said, he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as the one that serves. For who's greater, he that sits at meat or he that serveth? Is it not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as a servant. So if you don't want to be a servant, do you know that following the Lord really isn't what is going to work for us? Because when we follow Jesus, he has called us to be servants. And a servant doesn't walk around with, you know, arrogant and thinking, I'm just a little bit better than everyone else. A servant is one that gets no recognition many times. A servant is one that is there to cater to the needs of other people without credit, without mention. And that is what the Lord has called us to do today. Humbling ourselves one to another. The scripture said, I think about what Paul said. He said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus. And we are, and then went on to say that we ourselves are servants. And that's who we are this morning. We're servants. And you know, sometimes it's easier to serve than it is to be served. Has someone ever wanted to do something for you? He's like, no, I've got it myself. I can do it. Kind of a little streak of independence. Anybody besides me have a little bit of that? Do you know that it takes humility sometimes to be served? And the Lord wants us to be reminded this morning, as we physically, the brethren wash the brother's feet, the sister wash the sister's feet, He wanted this to be something that His people did. And we say, well, why do we have to do it physically if we just remind one another? It's because we too often forget. And He wanted from time to time to have this physical observation and this physical act to remind us of the spiritual meaning and lesson that He left before us. To be a servant, to serve other people. In the church of God, do you know that it's very unique from other churches and fellowships and congregations? I've been many different places where ministers sat in amazement. Do you mean we're supposed to wash the people's feet? Because they see the ministry as something elevated. You know, that's not the way it is in the church of God. In the church of God, we are all just servants of the Lord Jesus. And when there are differences among us, and we're going to have differences sometimes, and we're going to have personality, let's say conflicts, there's going to be personality issues sometimes. There will be in your homes, there will be in the congregation. The Lord wants us to remember who we really are. You're a servant. You're to humble yourself. It's not about who's greatest. If you want to be great, Jesus said, be a servant. Lord, help us to learn the value of humbling ourselves, being served and serving others. So at this time, we're going to separate the sisters in the dining hall and the brethren will stay in here. There's a lot that could be said about this, but I just want us to remember that Jesus set the example. And He said, if you do this, He said, you're going to be happy. Because, you know, you will find more happiness in humility than you will in pride. You will find more happiness in serving others than in being served yourself. And the Lord wants that to ever be paramount in our minds as His people, that we will stay an humble people. That we won't ever get exalted and lifted up, but we stay down giving Jesus Christ all of the glory. So we might separate at this time. We might turn our attention to the book of Luke in the 22nd chapter. We might wait just a moment. Some are still coming in. Luke chapter 22, we'll begin reading with verse 33. And before, previously in the chapter, Jesus had sent His disciples to prepare for the Passover supper. And he had had them to, he told in verse 8, he sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And as we read this morning, let's remember again the import of the Passover. The Passover was a time to remember. It was a time to remember God's deliverance from Egypt. It was a time to remember that because the blood of the lamb, they slew a lamb at Passover when they were in Egypt. They took a lamb and they killed it. And if the blood was applied on the doorpost, both sides of the door and at the top, if the blood of that lamb had been applied when the death angel went over and he saw the blood, he would keep going and they were saved. They had life. So that is the setting now that Jesus is going to institute something new. So he sat down with his disciples, and they went and found, verse 13, as he said unto them, and they made ready for the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him. And he said, with desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread, and the bread that they had would have been unleavened bread, as they observed the Passover. He took the bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. There are other accounts in the Gospels that give us the same instruction. But what Jesus was doing was he was taking something from the Old Testament, an observance on the Old Covenant, and he made a new ordinance for us to follow. Instead of remembering the lamb, the literal lamb that was slain, that death might pass over them, Jesus instituted something new by taking the fruit of the vine, and he said, I want you to take this and drink, all of you drink of it. One of the other gospel accounts says, all of you drink of it. And they drank from that one cup, drinking of the one cup of Christ's blood. It's not literally the blood of Jesus, but it is in symbolic to remember him. He said, I want you to remember me when you do this. The Passover was commemorated once a year. Jesus did not tell us how often to have this service. He did not tell us how often. I personally find that when people do it weekly, as some places do, that it loses its significance sometimes because it becomes just something you do. It's a rite that they just go through the process and they don't really take the time to think about what they're doing. Jesus wanted this to be a special time, and he did it on Passover because Christ is the Lamb that was slain for our salvation. And in John 1:29, when John the Baptist was baptizing and Jesus walked by, John saw Jesus and he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And if there are just a few words that I would like to leave with you in the Spirit this morning, it would be, behold the Lamb of God. That's why we have this service. There's different lessons that are learned. But behold the Lamb of God, because it was only through Christ's suffering And through the death that on the cross, that's where we have salvation this morning. And we don't want to forget that. I know it in December, once a year, people talk about the birth of Christ, and there's nothing wrong with discussing the birth of Christ. That was in the scripture. But do you know Jesus never commanded us to remember his birth? But what he did tell us was, I want you to remember my death. This, what we are doing today, far surpasses anything that we can do at any other holiday or time of year. Because Jesus said, I want you to remember that I was the Lamb that voluntarily, not forced, but I offered myself to be crucified for your salvation, that through my death you might have life. So as John said, behold the Lamb of God, John was actually referencing the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah, in the 53rd chapter, it gives us a description of Christ. It said he was despised and rejected of men. He was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. You see, Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to such as received him, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. He was, overall, he was rejected by his own. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But this is the mission of the Lamb. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Isn't that beautiful? You know, that's why Jesus left the splendor of heaven. It's why he left the comfort of home with the Father. And he came to this earth to offer himself as a perfect lamb. Because the blood of bulls and of goats was insufficient to take away sin. For a time, God honored that, but it never cleansed mankind from sin. People would offer a sacrifice, and they would go back and go directly back to their sin. But Jesus Christ came as a lamb, and he was crucified and gave himself as that sacrificial lamb that through his blood, we can be cleansed from sin, that we have the power through his blood that we can do as he told the woman who was caught in adultery, and he said, go and do what? Sin no more. The only way we can live without sin was through the blood of Jesus Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. He was wounded for your transgression this morning. He was bruised for your iniquity, for my iniquity. And I didn't deserve it. I wasn't worthy of it. But he looked down and he said, I love you. And he came to this world because of his love for you. And when we struggle, and when we are powerless, we can know that there is still victory and power in his blood. Again, to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. The scripture said that we read, it said that by his stripes we are healed. First of all, spiritual healing comes from the blood of Jesus. And I am so thankful that the blood of Jesus this morning has lost none of its power. It was almost 2,000 years ago. But the blood of Jesus still has power to bring healing to the sin-sick soul. where there is no hope, the blood of Jesus can, as the song says, will work a perfect cure. But the blood of Jesus did not only reach down to the sinners. Do you know what reaches down to us today that believe and have been saved from our sin? When you are struggling emotionally, there is healing in the blood of Jesus. When we are struggling physically, there is healing in the blood of Jesus. When we are in a time of temptation and it seems like that the devil is bombarding your mind and it's just wearing you out, you can plead the blood of Jesus, and there is power in that blood that you can say no to the temptation and you can be victorious. Behold the Lamb of God. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He came willingly to be that sacrifice. He was taken in his innocence, and he was beaten. He was spit on. He was taken, and he was nailed to a cross. One of the most excruciating deaths was crucifixion. He bled. He was whipped. He was ridiculed. He was mocked. They stripped him of his clothes. And in his humiliation, he offered himself as a sacrifice, willing to be humiliated. They put a crown of thorns on his head, and they mocked him. They put a reed in his hand, and they bowed down, saying, King of the Jews, hell, King of the Jews. They put the sign over the cross. They made fun of him. And I wonder if that hurt more than the physical pain. His own disciples, many of them rejected him at that point. Peter and others, they weren't there to support him in his greatest time of need. But he did it because he loved us. And so Jesus wanted us to remember his death, because it is only through his blood and his broken body that we have life this morning. Recently, I heard someone preaching, and they were preaching themselves. They were preaching the group. They were preaching their position. This morning, there is no ministry and there is no church that can save you from your sins. Jesus is the only door. He is the only one that has salvation. And when I am alone and I am far from other of God's people and I am in need, I still know where I can turn, because Christ is still there as our Savior, as our Lord. And when I'm struggling and it seems like I don't have the strength I need, I can plead the blood of Jesus, because it still is working today. So he's the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. Anytime, and I just, you young people especially, anytime any group or any ministry begins to elevate themselves as the one that can dispense the power of God, that is a false ministry and a false church. It is only through Christ. There were others that were crucified. Do you remember there were two thieves, weren't there, that were crucified that day? They endured pain as well, but they weren't innocent. Jesus left heaven to come to that place of excruciating pain, because the scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So that he was the perfect lamb, without spot, without blemish, and blameless. We are redeemed this afternoon, this morning, with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He was our redemption. And so that is why at Passover, where they remembered what God did many, many, many hundreds of years ago, Jesus said, now, we're going to do something different. I want you to remember this grape juice, this fruit of the vine. I want you to remember my blood. And I want you to do it and remember my death and remember my sacrifice. It wasn't by anybody else. There is no atonement in your good works today. There's no atonement in being in these four walls. The atonement only is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And because he suffered, when you are suffering and you are hurting and I'm hurting, we can remember that Christ died for me. He's not going to leave me now. Because he invested himself for us. He came and died for you and for me. So if you feel alone today, I want you to remember his death. He did it for you. And he's going to see you through your battles today. Through his blood and his body. He took the bread, and it was unleavened bread. And there are, again, there are many lessons that can be learned from that. And that's why every ordinance service, we sometimes focus on different aspects. But I just want you to remember the Lamb this morning. Behold the Lamb of God. The bread is unleavened bread. It's compact. There's nothing in it. It's grain and water. It's together and compact. And it was broken. So Jesus took that bread and he broke it and said, this was my body that was broken for you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we have the early morning church following this observance. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and there was some instruction given. Verse 23, he said, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he gave thanks, he brake it, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he took the cup, and he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood that you do, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. In other words, let's not get so busy. Let's not so get caught up in life that we forget the death of Christ Jesus. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. What Jesus had taught, what Paul was teaching us here, was that this was an ordinance for the church. When we drink of the blood, this grape juice, which is symbolic, when we take that and drink of that, we are testifying as well that, Lord, I have been a partaker of your blood in my life, spiritually. And when we take that, we take a little bit of this unleavened bread and we break it off of the whole and we put it in our mouth, it is symbolic of the body of Christ being broken. And we are saying, Lord,
I've been a partaker of the victory that came from your broken body. And so he said, examine yourself. It's not for me to come and say, well, where are you at spiritually, and are you where you ought to be? He said, examine your own life. But he said, don't partake of the physical here if you haven't partaken of it spiritually. So we need to examine ourselves. He said he took the bread. He said he gave thanks. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you so much for your Son Jesus and for what he came to do for us. We thank you for the Lamb of God, and we thank you that you so voluntarily gave of your life and suffered for our redemption and our salvation. Thank you for allowing your body to be broken for us, dear Lord. We ask that you would bless this bread as we partake of it this morning. We do it, Lord, in honor to you. And we want to thank you for all that you have done in breaking yourself before people, Lord, that were so undeserving of it, and that still has power for us today. Thank you, Lord, for your body, in Jesus' name. So it said he took it and he broke it. Remember the nails that pierced his hands and his feet. And then the soldier came and says it pierced his side. And it said water and blood flowed out of it. And he said he took the fruit of the vine and he gave thanks for it. Symbolic of the blood of Jesus. Represents that blood that was spilt on Calvary. It's in this blood that we have our redemption. Father, thank you for the blood that was shed on Calvary. We thank you, dear Father, for the blood that Jesus spilt for our salvation, for our healing, for our forgiveness of our sin, dear Lord. And we thank you so much, Jesus, for the sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, for enduring the humiliation of the cross. We thank you, dear Lord, for all of the blood that you spilt for us, from the whipping to that on the cross, dear Lord. And we thank you that it still works in our lives today. When we were so unworthy, you loved us and shed your blood. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we partake, and if you do not want to partake as you are served this morning, just indicate that to the servers. But it's a very personal thing. And I would just say for the younger, if there's any very young children, that's up to the parents, just to let the servers know if you would like your young children served. And that's a personal decision of the family, how you would like that done.